This message was recorded during a Cornerstone U class given at Cornerstone Church of Knoxville.
All right, well, I guess the first question is, what's wrong with this side of the room? I felt the reverbers are going to help out. They're going to fill in over here. Great, great. I feel like I need to stand right here. Cool. All right, so welcome. Thanks, Kent, for the intro. My name's Chris Moore. I think I know most of you, but I'm one of the pastors on staff here, and it's a privilege to be here today and to kind of think through the area of mass distraction with our phones and all the media distractions that are so prevalent in our society today. And so there's no cell phone usage. This is a no cell phone zone, right? So Brian, I think, is the one I'm going to have to worry about the most. So everybody keep an eye on him. Make sure. Who uses their phones for like taking notes? And does anybody do that? Jordan does that. Okay, so you can do that, but that's it today. So as we get started, I mean, it's no secret that technology has become so prevalent in our society. It's dominating our society. I was talking to someone just a couple of days ago about, it was 2003. Which is only 15 years ago, and I was in New York for a mission. We're doing an intercity mission trip, and I didn't have a mobile phone, and so I was like trying to get in touch with people, and it was just kind of this whole funny experience where a few people had them and I didn't have one. But I saw the kind of emerging need just to be able to communicate with a phone from a mobile context. And so the first thing I did when I came back from that trip is get a cell phone. And so it was a few years later, probably 3 to 4 years later, when I got a, does anybody remember what a BlackBerry is? Kind of old school smartphone, yeah. But it was basically a smartphone that was particularly developed for business communication. But that was sort of the precursor to today's generation of smartphones, which are just, there's a new one coming out every week, it seems like, at times. But as I think back to just the generation of me and my kids, how vastly different technology really is now, and particularly that personal communication with a mobile phone. And so what we're going to do today is, I know Kent did an intro last week and kind of talked about the big picture of technology and its impacts on us. Today I want to focus really in on a few temptations we have from a personal standpoint. Generally kind of focused in on smartphone usage and how that can be a major temptation in a few particular areas. And then next week, I believe Mike's going to talk about more about distraction and how phones and technology can be a major distraction for us. And then Kent's going to finish really with a lot of application. So today I'll be talking a little bit of application at the very end, but it'll be more thinking through some areas of temptation and some scriptural help that will help us to make good choices about our technology and how we use it in a positive way. But I wanted to start with, there's a few, Jake actually sent a few of these to me. I thought they would be kind of helpful just to think about the ways that our society is being influenced by technology. So how many of you have Alexa at home? A few of you. Google, you have like the Google Home or the Apple. There's all kinds of different ones. There's even Chick-fil-A. No. Was that the Calza? Is that the, I don't know. So, watched a little football yesterday, go Vols. So it's a good day for Tennessee. But they keep showing that Chick-fil-A commercial with the little Alexa version that leads everybody to chicken. So there's all these technology influences that happen. But this is one that's kind of cool. These are coming from The Atlantic, which is generally a little more liberal-leaning news publication. But it's kind of interesting. So this is like Alexa, should we trust you? And it's talking about how Alexa is like this servant of the household, but very soon she may be a teacher, a therapist, a confidant, an informant. So it's just thinking about how something, a tool that a lot of us are getting more and more used to using, people are relying on it more and more, and how it's affecting how we think and from a technology standpoint. YouTube. Like when I was young, there was not a YouTube channel. Obviously, there weren't very many computers back in the day. But YouTube is very influential in our society now. And YouTube channels. There's more. I have very little knowledge of YouTube other than looking at videos from time to time. So I'm a novice from a YouTube standpoint. But it's clear that YouTube is a major influence into our society today. And there's just so, I didn't look at the statistics about how many individual YouTube channels that are out there, but it's having a huge influence on people and their ability to tell their story and communicate different things they want to communicate. And this is a story saying about how YouTube is really influencing how our kids are being raised and being influenced by watching channels on YouTube. So it's a pretty interesting thing to think about. Bullying on social media, I think everybody's pretty familiar with that, but just a conversation, which we'll talk about throughout this morning, that you see throughout social media. It's a great platform for people to be bullied and to be drawn into these comparisons and to be taken advantage of on social media. So that's just another one I thought was a real interesting story. This one's kind of cool. If you can actually pay for prayer now, there's an app being developed in India where you can download the app, pay for your prayers to be made on your behalf and that kind of thing. So we'll think about Cornerstone if we want to do that in the future, but probably not. So, and then this, you've probably seen this show. I don't know if you've watched much. This is another football ad I happen to see, but there's a new show on CBS called God Friended Me. Does anybody watch that? Is anybody big fan of this show? Okay, so I was just curious. I looked last night. I was curious about what's this show about. But apparently, this guy's an atheist. It's kind of an interesting show, actually. But this guy's an atheist who gets friended by God on his Facebook account, and so he begins to investigate how that happened. And so he meets this young lady, and somehow I don't know if this is God or not, but it's just kind of an interesting thing about how our society is considering the impact of technology. And so there's shows. So the point of this is that there's shows, there's websites. Let me pull out this real quick. There's shows, there's websites, there's all kinds of media that's out there in society today that's affecting us. And our whole society, us included, we're not immune from it, are incredibly affected by technology in our culture. And so what I want to do today, as I alluded to, is I want to think about when we look at technology, when we look at all this information that's there, and we think about our smartphones in particular, how is that influencing us? What are the temptations that we can face that can really affect our hearts and how we view others? And there's so many things that we could really cover today. And here's just a few things. We could talk about the craving that we have for affirmation, how using social media can be a way for us to be really crying out for people to affirm who we are and how we feel. We can think about how the use of cell phones, use of this technology can cause comparison that can really lead to harm as we kind of try to compare ourselves with other people and sort of post this versus somebody else's post and all that. So there's a danger that can really crop up from comparison. The really easy tendency of us to present an image that's not really who we are in social media. That's a big temptation as we think about our posts and how we communicate in an online medium. The practice of really kind of capturing all this information and how we're living and what we're living for and what we're doing and how that can really sort of take us away from the actual moment. I don't know if you saw, couldn't find a great picture of it, but I did see a story. If anybody watches golf, there was a picture of Tiger Woods who just won I guess it was at the PGA Championship. This wasn't the tournament he won, but there's a great picture of him on the green, and this is a huge gallery of people, and almost everyone has their phone out. And almost to the person, everyone has their phone out taking a picture of Tiger Woods on the 18th green. And then he flashed back to a picture from like 2006, I think it was, of a very similar scene, and there's not a single phone People even had like binoculars. You remember what those are? We actually like look at at things. But it was just a real, you know, contrast of how people use technology now and how just, you know, 10, 15 years ago, that wasn't even there to be part of what we're, of how we viewed life. Isolation is a big part. We can, as we look more and more into our media, our technology, it can isolate us from others, which is a huge problem. We can criticize people with our smartphones. I mean, y'all are very familiar with that. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But this conversation that happens through technology is just really changed the way we interact in on an individual level, on a political level, on all kinds of issues. There's just this conversation that happens, and it's so easy through the use of media to engage in conversation and be bold or say things that we would probably never say if we were standing in front of someone talking face to face. And then the inclination, and we'll kind of finish with this in a few minutes, but this, we want to consume so much content that really doesn't fit a biblical call in our lives. So we're just like looking at information, we're following the news, we're following, and I'm all these things we're talking about are just all temptations for me, for sure, just to look at too much news, too much sports information, too much related what's happening in family and friends and the community and all that kind of stuff. And those are all really, really good things, but sometimes it can really deter us from really thinking about what's most important. And we'll finish today with Philippians 4:8 and kind of think about what God says is important for us to really consider and think about, and what kind of, how our content needs to be challenged with biblical truth. So we can't cover all these areas. That would be fun. But I want to focus in on three things today. It's in your outline. The first one is this temptation toward an unhealthy focus on self. So as we think about our smartphones, as we use those, it's a great way for us to be lured into too much focus on ourselves, which we already have a temptation to do. And then we want to think about how media, how our choices with smartphones can really buffer us from reality, how it can really begin to put distance between us and what's really happening in our lives. And then this temptation to develop an image rather than relational intimacy. So the more we kind of focus on who we are with our social media profile, the less intimate and the less relational that we can tend to be if we're not careful. So I want to, before I get into the first area, I did want to give a quick disclaimer. Because this is when we talk about areas like this, it can be really tempting to be judgmental. We can kind of have a sense of, we can begin to think about practices in a way where we are like, okay, well, here's the way we need to do this. You know, this is the way we manage our media usage. You know, if you have a Facebook profile, or maybe you shouldn't have a Facebook profile, or if you use Twitter or Snapchat or things I don't even know about that are out there. But there's a tendency when we start thinking about a broad area like this, and an area that's really influential in our lives, that we can begin to sort of compare ourselves and begin to put in practices and so forth. So we don't want to do that. So as we talk about these areas today, as we talk about some of these temptations, we want to be real cautious and have a real lens of grace of God, and just think about our need for help and our need for the gospel to kind of apply and help us to filter through these categories. So we want to take a real close introspective look about how these things are affecting us. And we want to help provide input to others and be in the conversation about how we can use these things to help us. But we want to do all that in a context of the reality of the gospel and its impact in our lives, and how we all have that tendency to kind of say, okay, this is the right way to do it. And as we walk through these things today, we don't want to land and say, okay, well, this is how I would do this. And when I'm talking to someone else about their use of their smartphone, that we kind of begin to criticize or judge them for that. So we'll come back to that in just a few minutes. But I wanted to mention that up front, that we just need to be really, really careful when we're talking about an area like this. So let's look at the first area, the temptation toward unhealthy self-focus. And I realize now that this television is like a temptation for you, right? So I'm sitting here talking, and you've got these really cool images that are popping up. And so it was not planned at all, but I realize I need to turn this off. So, or maybe you don't want me to turn it off. I don't know. So, okay. So now you're just distracted by this flat screen. you know, so hopefully you can probably see your picture in there. Okay, so, all right. All right, so the first area, the temptation toward unhealthy self-focus. So we all love ourselves, right? I mean, that's not a bad thing. I mean, I think that's even a biblical thing. I mean, we're kind of called, God created us, he's given us life, he's made us who we are, and so, you know, we want to care about ourselves, we want to take care of ourselves, we want to think about how we think, and those are all really good things to really care and have a self-focus is not a bad thing in and of itself, because I think it is important how we live and how we think and how we act, and so there's nothing at all wrong with that. And we all want to tell our story. All of us have things we want to communicate. We want people to know about us. And that's all kind of tied up in the relational aspect of who God is and how he created us. And God was a speaking God. And God spoke the world into being. And he created us in a way where we have a desire to speak, a desire to have conversation, a desire to communicate. And so the things that get wound up in this world of posting and profiles and all that, you know, there's a sense of that where that's just God, our creative nature is to tell others about ourselves. And that's all good. The problem is when we go too far toward the direction of really focusing increasingly on ourselves. So we all take selfies. I know everybody is anyone ever not taking a selfie in this room? Mickey's not taking one. Okay, we got one person. All right, good. I've taken many selfies. I have to admit it. It's just part of our, you know, that's just what we kind of do now. So for Mickey, we kind of we tend to use our phones to take pictures of things we're involved in, and that's just a really normal part of our lives now, and that's totally cool. But it can be very addictive. So these normal desires, these sort of inherent desires we have to tell our story and to talk about who we are, can turn toward an unhealthy temptation to really focus on ourselves. And so technology like a phone or an iPad or a tablet or these kind of things are, as great as they are, as wonderful as they are great instruments toward causing problems that can lead us down a path of becoming increasingly self-focused to the point where our tendency to be self-focused is already in temptation to be an idol. And our smartphone can become either a direct idol or an enabler of an idol in our lives to help us focus increasingly on ourselves. So I think it's in your outline there, but 1 John 5:20-21, I think can help us a little bit. And so that says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. And so that's the, you know, very straightforward command that we are to keep ourselves from idols. We're to stay focused on the understanding that we've been given in Christ and the truth that we've come to know. So when you think about an idol is, if you just look up a standard definition, it's a ghost or a phantom or a false image. It's really developing your own God through your own efforts and something that you worship, that you create to worship yourself, essentially, is sort of a context of what an idol can be for us. It can take us away from worshiping what we're called to worship, what we're created to worship in God, and become something that interferes or distracts or takes away from what God has really called us to worship, and it interferes with that. And a good illustration of that is the Greek myth of Narcissus. Does everybody know that story of Narcissus? Everybody knows narcissism, which we'll talk about in a second. But if you remember Narcissus, if you don't, just to refresh you on the story, is he was this attractive young Greek person, and he was. But the problem was in his beauty and his glory as a beautiful young man, he realized that, and so he became arrogant and really incapable of receiving or giving love, because all he cared about was himself. And so there was a nymph called Echo, who is another whole story, but she fell in love with him, but he rejected her and just pushed her away. And so she basically, because of that rejection, she basically decreased to nothing. And so that's where the Echo comes from in terms of, that's a whole nother myth story. But Nemesis, who was the goddess of revenge, heard about Echo and heard about Narcissus And so she decided to punish Narcissus. And so what she did is she focused him on, she led him to this pond, this reflection pond. Everybody's been to maybe a mountain, like a Mount Rainier National Park out west. There's a couple of these ponds that are just like crystal clear. And you can see like a perfect reflection of the mountains in the background. It's just really, really beautiful. But it rarely, obviously if it rains or something, but generally you can, there's days when it's just perfectly still. And so that's where Narcissus went. He went to this pond and he could just see his perfect reflection. And he just began to stare at it and stare at it and stare at it. And so there's different versions of the story, but some people say that he stared at it and he longed after his image so much that he actually dove in to try to find the image and he drowned. And some people said that he was so asphyxiated on the image that he stayed there and he would not drink or eat or anything, and he just died from hunger and from thirst. And so whatever the true outcome of that story, this is where narcissism was really born, is from this myth. And so the question I think we need to really think about today is, you know, we would think it's crazy to sit there and go stand by a pond and look at ourselves in the water. We'd probably not tend to do that, I don't think. But the question I think we can ask is, do our smartphones provide the same opportunity? Do we look down at our phones? Everybody's tempted right now to pull your phone out. But are we constantly looking at our phones, looking at information, looking at all the things that are there in a way that's doing a very similar thing that Narcissus did in his life? Are we so consumed with who we are, so consumed with our image, that we can drift toward narcissism in our own lives? And so narcissism is defined as this excessive interest in oneself or one's physical appearance. And so I think we all know, when we look at media and we look at Facebook and we look at Instagram and all these things, there's a tendency that we would have to obsess over ourselves, a tendency to have to be focused on our image. And so as we try to capture our image, as we fight that tendency to be consumed through the use of our technology, what can happen is we can miss out on what we're really created for, which is really not our image, but it's enjoying the presence of God and community with others that He's brought us into. We were created to love God and to love others, and we're created to reflect God. So there in your outline, there's Genesis 1, 26 through 27, and it says in verse 26, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them." So we're created in the image of God, not in the image of man. And our calling is really to image God and not ourselves. And so when we think about how we use our phones, that's the real thing we really need to be thinking through, is are we using our smartphone to in a way that helps reflect how God has created us and what God is calling us to do and how God is calling us to engage community? Or are we using it in a way that really reflects ourselves? Are we reflecting the Creator God in how we use our smartphones and use our technology? Or are we reflecting ourself as our own God? Are we making ourselves, are we idolizing ourselves and using our phones as idols that enable that to happen? And those are some things that we all struggle with and we need to think about. Tony Rinke, in his book, 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You, he says we exist for two reasons, and this is on your outline: to be satisfied in the infinite worth of the Creator and to show the world how precious and deeply satisfying He is. And so that's our calling as Christians. We're to be conformed to the person of Christ. We are called to worship the Creator and not the creature. We are called to worship God and not ourselves. And the only way that we can be truly satisfied is through this intent worship on God. If we seek to worship ourselves, if we seek to be consumed in ourselves, if we seek to build a social media profile that reflects who we are and not who God is, even though we think we're going to be satisfied, we're really never going to be satisfied. And the technology, in many ways, is the same as what Adam and Eve faced in the garden at the very beginning when God created Adam and Eve together. And when Satan was asking these questions, you know, don't you really want to be like God? Don't you really want to know what God knows? And a lot of those questions, that those same kinds of questions are the same sort of temptations that we face today through the use of technology. You know, we can be affected by the number of likes we receive on a post. We all do that. We're all like, post something, and we're like, it's kind of like we're waiting to see, okay, do we get, five posts or 50 posts or 100 posts? I'm not sure what the best number is, you know, in terms of what you feel is the right grading of that. So I'm sure y'all can tell me if I ask you. But the issue is that we tend to post something because we want people to like it, because we want people to like ourselves. We want to compare ourselves favorably to others in our social media. We want to craft responses to other people's posts that we think are cool and creative and show this side of us about, you know, how smart we are or how creative we are and those kinds of things. We want to do these Instagram and Snapchat posts that are kind of really cool and different. You know, we're always trying to like contrast ourselves with others. And this can take away from what Genesis 1 is telling us, that we can begin to reflect ourselves and not reflect God through the way we use our technology, because we desire to, we have this desire for instant gratification. And when we do that, we exchange this eternal blessing, this inherent blessing that God has given us to make us increasingly like Himself, for this momentary gratification of having 50 likes on a Facebook post or somebody really enjoying a picture. So again, we're not saying all these things are bad. And it's a temptation that we all have to think, okay, what? I'll cancel my Facebook account. I'll quit using Twitter. I'll quit doing all these other things. That's not the point of what we're talking about today. The point is we just need to really think about how we're using technology and how we often tend to reflect ourselves rather than reflect God, and the unhealthiness and the temptation that can lead us toward making all these things an idol. So now the second area I want to talk about is the temptation to buffer ourselves from reality. So fake news is like a big issue, right? Everybody knows what fake news is. That's become very, we're not going to get political, so don't worry. But fake news has become like a big thing. I don't remember 2 years ago. I mean, I'm sure there's always been like fake news or things, but it's like the phrase has become so prominent in the last few years. And so we're all, you know, it's just you hear it every day. Somebody else is saying, well, that's fake news. Whether you're liberal or conservative or whatever, they're throwing out this terminology. And so a story breaks and almost immediately the people who are on the other side of the story are calling it fake news. Well, that's not really true. This is really the truth. And that's showing a tendency that we all have to like, we want to have our way be the right way. And when somebody says we're not on the right side of an issue or not thinking the right way or something like that, we want to tend to create a reality that makes that seem right, even though it may truly be fake. Because everyone has an opinion, everyone's using social media to reflect that opinion. And so we have a tendency through the use of Facebook, and it started with blogs, it started with, you may remember MySpace. They may have a MySpace account. It was like the precursor to Facebook, I guess. But there's been this growth in online media from MySpace. It's, you know, blogs, Facebook. Now there's YouTube channels and Twitter and Snapchat and like I said, all, there's probably 10 other things I'm not even aware of in this world. But we've grown more and more dependent on communicating through social media. And we have done that in a way where we can develop an online personality and profile that enables us to reflect a fakeness or something that's different from the reality that's out there. So we can develop opinions that may or may not be totally based on what is true. And so we can begin to think that they are true by building a case for what we think is true. And we can use our media outlets, we can use our smartphones and our computers and using social media to really begin to think differently and help and try to make other people think differently about a particular issue. And so when we live in such a virtual community, such a community and a world, a culture that is so leaning toward sort of partially true, partially fake information, we can begin to buffer ourselves from what's really true and what's really not true. We can begin to prefer virtual relationships over real friendships. We can put things between who we really are and who we say we are online, and we can begin to cast a different image through the use of technology. And so what happens when we do that is there's this buffer that can really begin to grow between who we really are and who the world sees us. And it becomes a really comfortable place to be, actually, as we think about that. So that's, and I think that's why so many people are trying to do that, because they want people to really approve them. They want people to affirm them. But they feel like that the only way that can really happen is by putting distance between them and who they really are. And so they build this buffer. And what that does is that pulls them away from real relationship. And so, like I said a minute ago, we were made by God for relationship. We were made by God to be in people's presence, to relate to others personally, to speak to others as God has spoken to us, and to truly enjoy relationships as God intended. The buffered self, at the end of the day, makes life about themselves and keeps themselves from reality, and they become isolated, and they begin to not think about God, and certainly they begin to not think about others, because they're beginning to live behind this mask that they've created through the use of their technology. And we can all have a tendency to do that. The more people do this, and we see this in our culture, the more this happens, the more people, even ourselves, can be disconnected from the reality of who God is. And so we all know we're living in an increasingly secular culture that's leading more and more toward individual lives, and it's less and less open to others' influence. This quote from Alan Noble in Disruptive Witness says, "We are buffered selves, protected behind a barrier of individual choice, rationalism, and a disenchanted world." So we live in that. That's the reality, as you all would agree, I believe, that's the world that we live in. Individual choice, individual rights, it's the individual becomes more and more prominent each and every day. And so as that becomes more prominent, identification with the community, identifying with God, becomes less important and less real, because we're continuing to buffer ourselves from what really is true in the world. And so it's definitely happened in the culture, but it also can happen to us in the church. So we want to always remember that God is a transcendent God. He is beyond our ability to comprehend. But He's also an immanent God, meaning He's in and through all things. So we have, even though God is beyond our ability to comprehend, God is in and through everything that's happening in the world. So He can know us personally. That's the way He's created us. He created us to know Him, even though He is this transcendent God. But when we establish these buffers, when we build these walls, essentially, between us and God, we can become kind of desensitized to that if we're really not careful. And we can forget that God is immanent. We can forget that God is in our midst. And we can forget that God is transcendent as well. And so when we hide behind these realities, we have a temptation to explain this God away. We have a temptation, and our culture is definitely doing that, where they're beginning to reconcile who God is and the reality of if there is a God, because there's increasing focus on themselves. And so the more they buffer themselves, the easier it is to explain away that there really is a God, because people focus more and more on themselves. And when they do that, they increasingly fear reality. They increasingly fear failure. They increasingly fear disapproval and not being loved, and they fear rejection. So what do? They try to address those issues? No, they buffer themselves more, because they don't want to experience the pain and hurt that they feel like reality is setting out there for them. And so they pull away more and more. And social media can be a strong thing to enable this buffering to happen to people's lives. And it can happen to us in the church as well. We can be tempted to buffer ourselves from relationships in the church, because we don't want to do those same things. We don't want to be rejected. We want other people to approve us. We don't want people to know who we really are. And so we can use social media in our lives, even as Christians, in a way that does this very thing. It establishes these buffers in our lives, and we can kind of pull back or become isolated or become this lonely person who may convey a whole different personality on our social media profile, or maybe in the way we interact with people, because we've continually began to buffer and put things in between us and these relationships. So we want to not sacrifice our intimacy for Christ or with other believers with this blurred image of reality. We want to always try to step back and focus on the reality of who we are as believers, what God has done for us, and we want to have this authentic, real relationship with others, that we need to not allow our social media, our use of social media, to really step back and keep us from being the real person that God has created us to be, or enjoy the real friendships that God has put in our lives to have. And particularly, we want to step back and remember that it's our devotion to God, our pursuit of the Lord each and every day, which is preeminent in our lives, in order to maintain this reality of who God is, who we are, and how we interact with the world. So we want to not go down the path of using media in a way that increasingly buffers us from the truth that we've lived in and that we know, and that we want to, that's been the foundation of who we are as a believer. And so this takes us to our third area, which is related to this, which is pursuing an image over a pursuit of intimacy. And so I have a love for coffee shops. I love going to coffee shops. It's just been something I've always enjoyed. I love that atmosphere. I've been when I first learned about Starbucks way back in like 1991 or two, back in the olden days, I was just became really interested in this coffee shop phenomena. And so it's exploded. It just continues to grow and increase. And so when I was traveling with my job, I would try to visit a lot of shops and things like that all over the place. And so it was a really productive place for me to go and to work. And I always just found it as a really helpful environment. I still do today. But in doing that, I've added all these accounts to like my Instagram, for example. Instagram's probably the worst, where I have all these coffee shops that I've kind of followed on Instagram. And so every day I have like this feed of coffee shops, which I probably need to take out. But it's all these photos, all these images of coffee shops and like these cool people sitting drinking coffee and doing things. And so it reminds me of a story that I was reading. This is a book called Recapture the Wonder, by Mike Cosper. And he tells a story in here which is really interesting, about an experience he had in a coffee shop. I believe it was in Louisville. But I won't tell the whole story now for the sake of time. But basically the story that he was trying to convey is that he went to a coffee shop one day. He was sitting there and, you know, he got his coffee, sat down. He was reading, thinking through his materials, etc. But he noticed this young guy comes in, very hip-looking guy, dressed up, and you know, certain, he describes his outfit, describes the look of the person. He's trying to sort of set the stage of this person. So he walks in, gets his coffee, sits down at the table, and then he spends this huge amount of time trying to get the coffee and the book and his laptop, etc., kind of get it all fixed so he can take a picture of it. And so he goes through this for his iterations. He moves it. He turns. He takes a picture. He looks at it. He's going through this whole thing. And, you know, he's just consumed with watching this guy try to build this perfect post. And so he's just really consumed by it. And then he texts his wife and kind of tells her about it. Well, then she goes on Instagram and she actually sees the photo. And she's like, well, did you even notice what book he's using in this photo? And he's like, no, I didn't even notice that. It was The Doctrine of the Word of God by John Frame, which is this huge theology book, which is just dense with rich theology. But it's like it just kind of is this reality that here's this guy who, he comes in, he's, you know, probably well-meaning, you know, comes in, he wants to, you know, read this book, but he's so, motivated to get this perfect picture that he spends most of his time trying to get the picture. And then he says that he actually opens the book up, looks at it for about a couple minutes, closes it, and then starts looking at his phone. And so it's like this picture, that story is sort of a picture of what we have a tendency to do. I mean, I've done some similar things. You know, I've tried to take a picture of this or try to get the perfect photo for this and try to, you know, I'm guilty of capturing something that I want people to know about myself and an image that I want to portray. And that's clearly what this, you know, this guy, he may be a pastor of, maybe a wonderful pastor, probably is a wonderful pastor, a great guy. It's nothing, not really judging him. But it is a tendency that we have to do the very same thing, and our smartphones are something that really can enable that. So that the quote in your outline is from Tony Renke again, says our phones have given us the ability for self-replication in the hope we can garner infinite attention and infinite regard from others. And so I think that's what this guy was trying to do, is he wanted everybody to know he was hip and cool at this coffee shop. He wanted everybody to know that he was theological. He's reading this really dense book, or he was thinking about reading it. But he had a purpose in what he was doing there. And that's the same tendency, same temptation that we can have, is we want to create an image of who we think we want to be and who we think people want us to be, rather than really just trying to be who we are and trying to throw ourselves out there and let our image speak for itself in terms of our relationship with others. Because we have this desire for attention, whether we want to admit it or not, we do. And we want to focus on ourselves and our achievements, and we want people to look at that and think, you know, this guy's a strong Christian. This guy's this young lady is a wonderful believer, or she's really smart, or whatever the thing is. That's what we kind of have a tendency to want people to know about us. But as Christians, we're not being conformed to this image in our minds. We're being conformed to the image of Christ. And so our glory doesn't come from ourselves. Our glory really comes from the approval we receive through the work that Christ has completed on our behalf. So this verse is from Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. It says, he will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. For God shows no partiality. So as Christians, we're to live for God's glory and not our own glory. And sometimes we live in, or most days, we always live in a world that's seeking instant gratification. And we can want to do the same thing. We want to have this, like, this approval and this gratification that that people know and accept us and love us. And our culture is living in a way that's not, they're not in the same reality that we're living in as we do in the church, because we're living in between what is and what will be. And so we want to live in a way and use our technology in a way that points us toward what is to come and not necessarily what is today. Because we're one of these days, God will fill all of our desires, all the pain, all the struggles, all the difficulties, all the lack of approval, the isolation, all those things that we feel and we struggle with today. All that will be fulfilled when we see our Savior face to face. And we want to look forward to that day in a way that does, and live in a way where we don't satisfy or seek to be instantly gratified, but we want to look to knowing that one day we'll be more satisfied than we could ever imagine by seeing God face to face. So God created us again to live in communion with Him and in communion with each other. And right now we live in the presence of God through a mediator, through Christ Jesus and the work that He's completed on our behalf. But God's intention is that we would dwell with Him just like He dwelt with Adam and Eve in the garden. There would be no mediator. We would be in His presence. And that's the way that if we look back and see how Adam and Eve lived, they lived in God's presence. If we think back about the daily interaction of Jesus and His disciples and the people they lived with, there was this day-to-day interaction, this conversation, this relationship that they had. And that's what God really created us for. And even though we live in a day where that's mediated by the person of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus will return, and we will come back to that place where we have that perfect relationship with God in a way that is more than we could really ask or think in our current situation. And so we don't want to use media and use our smartphones and create an image that takes away from the image that we're really pursuing and the image that will be fulfilled as we're conformed fully to the image of Christ and we're able to interact and be in His presence day after day after day in eternity. And so as we think about how we use our media, we want to avoid the temptation to create this image that's different from that image, because you know, it's so easy when we think about social media. And you know, in ourselves, we're fallen. So we sin, we struggle, we make mistakes, we say the wrong things, we do the wrong things. And social media allows us to kind of correct some of those things before people actually see it. So if we're posting something, we can change it, we can correct it, we can make it sound better, we can tweak the photo, we can do all these things to give an image that's not a true image of who we really are. And we can't really express true affection or true emotion through social media, even though we try, even though we add all these emojis and all these different ways that we can try to communicate or show affection. There's still a lack of real relationship that happens through the context of social media. And it's all because we were created for this real relationship with God and with others who believe in God. And that's what we're looking toward one day, as I've talked about, when we will see Christ face to face. We'll live in this relationship. We'll live in an ongoing, real, a true one-to-one relationship with Christ and with each other in eternity. And we don't want to do things now which deter, take away from the reality that is to come. But it's our pride and our desire for that gratification that can help us and really tend to make us forget all that and focus more on our existence today rather than the reality of what is to come tomorrow. So the bottom line of this last part is that technology, social media, make pursuing image over intimacy increasingly easier and easier. And so we're not immune from that as a Christian. We're not immune from that in the context of the church, because we face this temptation to create an image that does not reflect who God is and how He's created us, but it reflects who we think we want to be. And that just pulls us further and further back from the reality that is to come. And so we really want to challenge ourselves about, when we think about the image that we're creating through our media choices and the way we use our phones, we want to really work to not have this instant, daily, kind of now focus, but we want to have an eternal, long-term focus and think and let that inform the way that we make choices through the use of our media. So I want to conclude, and hopefully I have time for a few questions if you have some. But I want to think about one thing as we wrap up, and we can spend all day talking about different areas. We could spend, these are just kind of touching on a few things, you know, the temptation to focus on ourselves, the temptation to buffer ourselves from others and from the reality of who we're created to be, and this desire to create an image of who we think we should be, and forgetting the reality of who we are and who we will be in the context of eternity. And I just want us to really apply all these things in one particular way. So there's an old adage which you are very familiar with. It says, we are what we eat, right? I mean, everybody knows that. You know, that's kind of an old school thing. But I think in this area, as we think about the use of our smartphones, as we think about technology, then I believe we can say that we are what we consume in terms of our social media habits, in terms of our technology. And so we need to keep a close eye on this. I think it's just a reminder and a helpful reminder, and just thankful to Kent for thinking and giving us a chance to talk about this as a church. But we do want to think about the time we spend on our phones. We want to think about how much content that we're looking at, and maybe we need to be less concerned with all these funny posts and funny videos. And all of a sudden, again, these are all okay things, generally speaking. Not everything's okay, but most of these things are okay. A number of likes, number of followers we have, all those things are not necessarily bad. But we just want to be cautious about those things. We want to guard our hearts, you know, concerning the content that we consume and make sure that we're not consuming content that negatively affects us spiritually. We don't want to trade virtual reality for the real reality that God has called us to live in. And a lot of times we just need to learn to put our phones away and engage in the real communication and real relationship and the real presence of being with each other that God has made us to really enjoy. And that's obviously a temptation that we face, but we need to communicate in reality, because that's the way God has made us. We need to talk about things that matter. We need to think about things that matter, because that's what God has called us to do. And when we do those things, we'll find out that the satisfaction that we would seek by trying to focus so much on ourselves, or the satisfaction we want to achieve by creating these buffers between us and others and these sort of fake realities, and that satisfaction that we desire that would lead us to create another image that's really not truly reflective of our image, all those things are really met in the person of Christ and thinking on Him and thinking about what He has called us to think about. And that's where Philippians 4:8, which we'll conclude with, really can help us. And so that verse says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." And so that's a verse I really want to leave you with. Is I don't want to leave you with feeling bad because you like your smartphone, or feeling bad because you have this account. That's not the intent at all. Because I'm going to continue to use all those media, just like you will, most of you will. And there's nothing inherently wrong in any of that. But we want to use those things and use this technology, which can be a really helpful tool for us in a lot of different ways, through this lens of Philippians 4a. We want to make sure that as we think about our likes and our followers and our posts and our engagement on social media and our image and all these things that are represented through the use of a smartphone, that when we think about Philippians 4a, when we read those verses, you know, are the choices we're making, are the posts we're making, are the things we're doing reflective of what this verse is calling us toward? And I think if we just use that verse as a filter for our smartphone usage in particular, then I think it can really help us to really reflect God's glory and not our own glory in how we consume media and how we use our smartphones in particular. And it can help us to mitigate against these temptations that we have towards self, like we talked about at the very beginning. So with that, I just wanted to open up for a few questions, and then we'll pray and wrap up. So any questions about any of that information, that material? I know there's a lot of things to think about there. Is anybody feeling judged by your use of your smartphone besides Bryant? So he's shaking his head there. So again, I certainly want you to not leave here with a sense of this feeling judged or feeling like it's not okay to use your phones. And so I hope you, I know you know that, but just reminding you that we're all living in a context of the gospel. We're all living in a context of grace, and we want to help each other to grow in this area. We want to help each other apply Philippians 4:8. To our lives and be open to that. You know, if we ever post something and a friend says, "Hey, why did you post that?" You know, we want to be quick to want to have a conversation about that and not react with another post and create an argument. We want to try to obviously avoid that. But we want to work together as a church to really follow Philippians 4:8 and ultimately honor God in the way we use our technology and the way we use our smartphone. So that's my hope, and that's my prayer for you. So let me pray for us, and we'll conclude. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your kindness to us in Christ. Thank you that you have saved us through the work of your Son Jesus, that through his life and his death, Lord, he did everything necessary for us to know you, and that you resurrected him in power. You received that sacrifice, and now we don't stand in condemnation before you, but we stand in your favor and in your blessing through Christ. And as we think about this area of technology, as we want to thank you for giving the gift of technology to men and women to to the ability to think and create these things, which are just really incredible and really helpful in so many ways. And so we want to use those things in a way that glorifies you, and we want to protect ourselves from things that would lead us astray, that would help us to focus too much on ourselves, to forget who you are, to forget the greatness of who you are, and the desire you have for intimacy, desire you have to know us. And we don't want our phones to be a barrier to keep us from knowing you, and to weaken our view of who you are. And we want to reflect your image. We want to be a this truly apply Genesis 1, and we want to live and reflect your image as we walk around in this world, as we seek to share the gospel with others. So we know we can't do that in any way in and of ourselves. It's only through the power of your Spirit. And so I pray for us, each person in this room, that we would be filled with your Spirit, we would be encouraged by your gospel and your truth, and that we would be equipped to live in this culture and use our technology in a way that ultimately draws people to Christ and brings glory to your name. And that's what we ask you to do today. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a Cornerstone U class given at Cornerstone Church of Knoxville. Cornerstone U exists to have our minds renewed by the Word of God, to see who God is, and to live in light of His Word and Gospel. To find out more about previous Cornerstone U classes, visit us on the web at www.cornerstonechurchofknoxville.com/cornerstone-u.